Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, June the 17th, 2025, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, here for the big show on Tuesday morning. Well, I do want to thank Bobby Floyd. I always want to call him Bobby Short. Bobby Short, another great pianist. But Bobby Floyd, Marion's only Grammy winner ever in the history of the city or county, and who was a Marion native. And I certainly hope that a lot of people know that, and if you don't know that, you share with that with your family and friends and kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews. Bobby Floyd was on the program yesterday, and he will be making an appearance in Marion on Saturday, a performance hosted by Janice Rogers, featuring La Costa Mays and comedian Cameron Steele. It'll be at the May Pavilion at the Palace Theater. Doors open at 6, entertainment at 6:30, first day of summer, June 21st. Silent auction, 50-50 drawing. General admission is $35. The premier sponsor for this event is Ohio Health. Bronze sponsors, OSUM, United Way, Graphic Packaging, Arbet, and Tri Rivers. Tickets can be purchased online on the Palace webpage, or you can call the box office Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, I guess we're down to Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at this point. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Boy, am I having trouble saying things this morning, or what's going on here? The box office number, 740-383-2101. 740-383-2101. Bobby Floyd and his friends at the May Pavilion this coming Saturday, 6:30 p.m. here in Marion. Also a comedian, and La Costa Mays performing. Well, I guess it's the old adage, don't open up with a plug. I guess my mouth was not in gear to open up with a plug this morning. Our phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. We would love to talk to you today. We talked a little bit yesterday about the No Kings rally that happened in Marion on Saturday. We were there. It's still running on the news. I'm glad of that. And we ran all the interviews yesterday morning during the 8 o'clock hour that I taped during the No Kings protest. You know, the only thing I can say is what I said yesterday. There were probably 300 people there, probably 300 plus. I'm not going to die on a mountain for crowd size, but the amount of attacks that came from the pro-Trump side, which, again, it's fine to like Donald Trump. It's fine to vote for Donald Trump. It's fine to support Donald Trump. This is America. That's what you're allowed to do. But the backlash from that was bigger than anything I had ever seen heretofore in the Trump administration, Trump presidency. And I have to believe that it shook up people who support President Trump, these protests. And maybe it was because a lot of people did not support the military parade on Saturday. A lot of people in the military did not support the military parade on Saturday. And maybe that's what it was. But as I said yesterday, there were just a lot of interesting attacks. You know, the media's liberal. That's nothing new. That's an old attack. Crowd size, they always like to go after crowd size. And then we also had, what was the other attack they did? Oh, I said the parade was for his birthday, which, as I said yesterday, that's what the people at the protest believed. So that's what I said. And I also said it was to celebrate the anniversary of the military, if you listen to all the interviews, which were unedited. I don't know. I'll tell you something that was kind of interesting, because we got some comments yesterday when County Commissioner Davis said he objected to the sign that said MAGA equals Nazi. Again, I'm not talking out of school here. President Trump certainly has said a lot of things that people do not care for. Things that would be considered personal attacks, I think, on a lot of levels. So it's interesting that somebody who said they supported President Trump, which he did, and again, his right to do so, would be offended by some of the rhetoric being used by other people. I don't know how we got to where we are. My philosophy on the whole thing is I wish none of us were talking like this, because I think people are getting shot now. And I think Governor DeWine is ordering extra security for political office holders. And I think this is where we don't want to be. And I think we need to ask ourselves, how did we get here? How did we get to this place where we're like this? Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've already been out trimming some flowers and watering some stuff, so it's a good day.
Mother Nature watered it for you as the rain continues.
Well, the hanging baskets and such, they needed fertilizing and deadheading, so you know they'll continue to produce all these lovely flowers. But Mark Davis, so I put a little thought. I actually listened to his interview that he gave again twice yesterday, well, between yesterday and today. And one of the things I wanted to say was that he said the people over there look like the people that would be supporting the Vietnam or protesting the Vietnam War.
I think that was his shot, yeah.
Okay, was that an age-related thing?
I think that's what it was, because if you listen to the interview, right after that is when I went to Jackson Shipley, who I'd already interviewed, who was 18, and he just, when I pointed that out to him, he really just kind of glazed over that, and then he went into the MAGA sign thing.
Okay, well, he would be about the same age as the people protesting the Vietnam War, if my math is correct. But I sort of took that also to imply that, like, we might be the dirty liberals that would be out there shouting at soldiers when they were coming home, and I wanted to make it abundantly clear that, yes, I would have been out there protesting the Vietnam War had I been alive, but
well,
I would never protest a soldier home, especially one that had been drafted.
Well, I will say this. Standing next to him, I mean, somebody would have to ask him personally, but the interpretation that I took off the top of that was an age thing. And he had also said that to somebody else, and they took it as an age thing as well.
I don't know if he's noticed or not, but, like, city council, the average age is not young. Or the new one that's coming in, anyway. It's not young. They don't have a bunch of young whippersnappers running around local Republican Party, so.
Well, you know what's interesting to me? Two points on the age thing. As I said, I had already been across the street at that point, and then I saw Dr. Davis. I found it interesting that he would be there, so I got back across the street to interview him. So I'd been amongst the crowd, and, you know, there were people like 18-year-old Jackson Shipley. There were younger kids there. So I didn't even really see the woman that everybody seems to jump on, who I interviewed in the Mexican flag. She was not an older lady.
There were actually two women there. I'm washing my hands, sorry.
Yeah.
There were two women and a guy there with Mexican flags. The one woman was interviewed by the Marion Star. She wasn't even Mexican, and she was about my age, maybe a little bit older, because she and I hugged at the end. And then there was a kid. I'm going to call him a kid just because I'm realizing I'm old now, but he was probably maybe 20, 22 max. He was wrapped in a Mexican flag. And then the younger girl,
there were a lot of young girls.
Well, I mean, the one you talked to, I think she was, I would say, 20-ish, 25, no
probably.
More than 25.
Probably.
No more than 25.
And there were a lot of young Caucasian girls as well there. And
oh, yeah.
So
most of us were white.
Right. So, but I guess I didn't understand the age shot. Maybe that's just what he saw on the front line. But I guess on the age thing, what I would say to that is that there were young people there, so that's number one. And number two, every time we vote, the vote voting age tends to be older. So if it was the older people, I guess that's the people you want.
Well, I said we had from pink hair to white hair, but yes, the older demographic are your solidly reliable voters. So that should be concerning to people as well. And you're starting to see 45 up to 90 all agreeing on the same thing, and we're dragging the 18-year-olds into it as well.
But, you know, I don't know any protest. I'm trying to think of any protest I've seen in recent years that had a lot of young people. I just think they're probably doing other things. I don't know what would be a young person's protest.
You'll get a lot of younger people out at your bigger protests. This isn't the first one that I've been to. I mean, this is Marion, Ohio. But women's rights brings out a lot of younger women, younger people, and voting rights tend to bring out a younger demographic just because they're trying to get the word out to their peers.
Well, but you know, I have to give Dr. Davis, though, a lot of credit for coming down there and being willing to do the interview, because he didn't have to do that, and I thought that was good of him.
No, I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about that. I listened to the his interview again. I didn't know if it was an age shot or if it was, you know, like dirty hippie liberals. We hate the military, and that's why we're all down here today too.
Now, I thought it was age.
There were veterans down there, though. I want to make that clear to people. Well, the woman with the Mexican and the American flag. She was interviewed for. She had a Mexican flag and an American flag. She was interviewed for the Marion Star, and she was a veteran.
Yeah. No, I think it was definitely an age shot. I mean, somebody would have to ask him, but that's how I took it.
Well, there was a diverse group of people as far as age, and we stood around, some of us did, and talked afterwards. I met a very nice pastor there who was there with his family. We stood around, he talked, there were people that were parents of transgendered. There were people that were gay in the conversation. There was him in the conversation. There were people that were atheists. I mean, well, you know, people were all just kind of self-identifying. I don't know if they felt like they were safe or if they needed to get that out there or needed to know that, you know. And I'm not a Democrat, and I'm this, and I'm an independent, and I'm a Democrat and have been for life. So, I mean, it wasn't just Democrats down there either. I want people to know that. It wasn't just registered Democrats. I've never been a registered Democrat, and I was there.
No, but you know, the thing I've been trying to figure out, and I touched on it a little bit yesterday, and now that we've got a little more time, maybe we can get a little more in-depth on this, because that's Saturday, and this is now Tuesday, and I'm still getting comments and views on this little six-minute video I put together, and people paying attention to the radio interviews I sent out yesterday, and I'm shocked by that in a way, because the main the comments and the I would guess the views seem to be pro-Trump people, and I've never seen that group so shook up to where they're attacking crowd size. Although that's been done, I guess that's been done before.
Yeah,
but they went back to crowd size. They went back to, but they went to this liberal media, which they like to do every so often. Then they went to, you said it was for President Trump's birthday. Then they went in on, what does it mean? What does any of this mean? What's it going to do? You know, it shook them up. I guess it did that.
Yeah. Enough. What does any of this matter? Well, it mattered enough for you to comment. I've said that quite a few times.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that that group was not there, yet they are the ones who seem to be most...
They afraid, Scotty. They afraid.
But why? Why? What's the answer?
Because I don't think they realize this many people disagree with them. I believe they surround themselves in an echo chamber and had no idea that millions of people would come out against their Lord and Savior, Donald Trump, on his birthday to tell him, you...
Well, it's been surprising to me, because I knew that Saturday would be a pretty good protest because it being on President Trump's birthday, but I thought that the opposition would be a lot more. I really did think there'd be people down there across the street protesting if you would have read the Marion Star comment section, and that was not the case.
Oh, yeah. You and I have had this conversation, though, before. People will definitely sit behind a keyboard and say whatever they would never say in real life. And all those people running their yachts couldn't get their asses up. Somebody actually said they didn't realize that they knew me and that they liked me. And they're like, who is the lady singing the alphabet? Seriously, find something better to do with your time. I was like, well, in about 2.5 hours, I got in like 13,000 steps. What did you do today? They're like, oh, girl, I didn't realize it was you. I didn't even get out of my pajamas today. Okay.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? Like, but you're on a keyboard. You didn't realize it was me. You're talking shit about somebody you know, and you didn't even take off your pajamas.
Well, and I've also got to say that I got to give the Marianne Starr credit. They were there covering it as
yes,
well.
They were.
And I've got to give, you know, Abby Bamberlin, give her credit for doing it. And she had those stories up very quick that day. So I give her credit for that.
It was a big story in Marianne. It was a big story.
Well, but I think I have seen in the last week or two that the Marianne Starr, I've always thought that they're reporting in this new era of reporter was not so much about being conservative slanted. I think it was just maybe not knowing, being new to the town, not aware. And I have to believe that that's true now because I've seen them report on a lot of things in the last couple weeks that would not be of the conservative side.
She is getting, she is branching out.
Yeah. So when thou knock, thou must also give praise when you're doing the right thing. We're getting a comment out there this morning. Mary's listening. She said, I thought you did a great job with all the interviews. I appreciate that. You know, those interviews are tough to do because it's loud. And
it was very loud.
It's loud, and you're trying to get them heard. And you want to be fair. I mean, I even interviewed the Trump guy before his friends came. So, you know, you do what you do.
Well, and we noticed when you were interviewing Mark Davis that a semi went by and gave an extended honk, and I was like, I wonder how that's going to come across on radio.
Yeah, you know, if you can hold the microphone close enough, you end up hearing the person. The videos are always more challenging because you're just trying to stand as close as you can. But, you know, it turned out okay. It obviously got people riled up, 1,400 views later and counting.
Did you live stream?
We did not live stream because I thought it would be intermittent because, you know, find an interview, walk across the street, so
right.
We would have to, yeah. I didn't want it to look like I'm follow me walking across the street. I think sometimes that's a little exhibitionist.
Yeah, I didn't know actually what kind of coverage was going on, only because people were saying, I saw this on the internet and I had to come down. I mean, there were people that were still coming at 1:30 that, you know, they had got a piece of cardboard out of their recycling bin and written something on it. So.
Yeah, I think the newspaper's coverage in that regard beforehand, I think our coverage in that regard beforehand to say it was going on, I think that did help.
Okay.
Do you notice how people say that?
Either that or their bus was late, the bus that was busing them in.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing they went after was the signs.
It might have been late.
Well, that to me is shocking, you know, because the lady, well, the lady openly admitted with the MAGA equals Nazi that it was not her sign, but as if this was some kind of concerted effort in Marion, Ohio, you know, people do make signs for people who might want a sign. It's kind of like mm-hmm. bringing water for people who don't want water. Nobody's forced to carry a sign, and a lot of people don't want to take their sign home because what are they going to do with it? So they put it in a pile.
The next one.
Yeah, they put it in a pile so somebody else can carry it if they want to. Mm-hmm. But some people now, but the Hitler mustache guy's sign. Now he made his sign, so there you go.
So the Trump equals Nazi thing. I don't like throwing that around because that is very serious, and the Holocaust and the plight of the Jews is a very serious thing and something I take seriously. However, there's a caveat there, however. Some of the things in history, I'm just going to bring up the flag, the Trump merchandise. Let's just go merchandise alone. My son and I did American history this year. We did from the Civil War to current times. And we spent, I don't know, about 3 weeks or so on World War II. But that's his thing from World War I until Vietnam. That's his era that he loves. But some of the things that I saw happening, like, can you think of any other person, elected official, that has had their, I'm going to call it propaganda just for the sake of their materials, their merchandise, flags hanging for a decade with their name on them. Can you think of any other president?
You know, no, no,
and I mean,
no.
There's some places that you go, it's Trump flag after Trump flag after Trump flag after Trump flag. Now, Nazi Germany, that had a lot of that going on. Now, again, I'm not saying that Trump is Hitler, because I don't believe that's true. But I believe unchecked power can lead to really bad things.
Well, I think it's the first. I mean, I think, as you're saying, the flags. I think also the military parade. I think the way the media has been treated and tried to be kept out of things. I think
it's
all
more than a decade of worship that we've had for this man. So that's kind of where I can see the Nazi dictator type whatever. Basically, Trump's been around my son's whole life, and he's almost 16. And that's all he remembers.
Well, but I'll tell you, the Trump worship, as you call it, is interesting because it is a small group of people. That's what's odd. Usually when you have a popular political person, it's the majority loves them so much that you get that. In this particular place, it's almost position. It's almost as if the minority group, because Trump has never gotten 50% of the vote even when everybody voted, it's that I think that they like him so much they feel the need to tell people that they like him, but it's not as if the majority of the country thinks he's great. It's that that particular group that he appeals to thinks he's great.
Here's the thing. You can think he's great. Fantastic. I don't care to the point that I need to scream at you and call you names and everything else because you like Donald Trump. And just because I don't doesn't mean that you need to scream at me and call me names and everything else. And please, dear God, don't try to test my intellect on this. Because, like the dude at the protest, he won more votes. I was like, man, he hasn't even ever won the popular vote. And he looked at me with such a look of confusion on his face because he was in prison when the voting was going on. So I'm sure he has absolutely no clue what the difference between the popular vote and the Electoral College. So sit your dirty ass down.
Well,
yeah,
it was...
So
yeah.
Let's not go toe-to-toe on that one either.
Well, but, you know what? I'll tell you something fascinating. Last night when I was at City Council, right before the meeting got started, a boy and his... I shouldn't say a boy, a man and his son, I believe, came over. And they said, we listen to you every morning, which I certainly appreciate. I hope they're out there this morning. And they said, I just wanted to tell you that we were the ones who almost got run over at the protest.
I didn't know that someone almost got ran over, but I was in the lane. I was down by the prosecutor's office. So I was where the lane close to where it starts to turn, or to split off to turn right onto Main Street. And I don't want to say, like, people were charging at us, but they were definitely driving faster than you normally would if you were pulling into that lane. Just being aggressive. I mean, I don't think anyone was going to try to kill us, but there was a...
No, you're right. I don't think it was anybody purposely trying to run them over. I think it was just... I think it was the person, actually, who you said you had stepped in front of.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think that was what they said.
Oh, my.
Because it came from... It was a reference to this show, and I thought that's what you had said yesterday. And I think that's why they were bringing it up to me last night.
Oh, I didn't know that anyone was charged at with a car. I mean, I'm just speaking from our experience. Like, we stepped back from the curb a few times because people were getting awfully close. But, no, I didn't know that someone was... Unless that's what they're considering... almost hit. I mean, I'm not going to go to that extent and say I was almost hit, but there were a few times where we all stepped back for our own safety.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it was, and...
But, I mean, isn't that absurd, too? I mean, was anyone doing anything, Scott, except for chanting and dancing around and laughing and, you know, I mean, there wasn't any screaming or hatred or violence or tearing stuff up or yelling in police faces or anything like that. Nothing.
No, but I'm starting to think that these type of things, and I guess on Saturday, the total across the country now is somewhere around 5 million people were protesting. I guess, I think why this is bothering people is I think people believe protests don't matter, and I think they are starting to matter along with these town halls that people are having, because as we get closer to the midterm elections, I think they feel they're not going to get reelected. And that is their ultimate fear.
Yes.
And so as things grow...
Where does their loyalty lie? This is a loyalty test now. Where do their loyalties lie?
Right, and
like,
I also...
With people that were in the street. Because here's the thing, like at my house, I was the only one here. Everybody else had other stuff to do. My son would have been there, but he was volunteering that day. Go figure. But there are other people that I know that feel like me that just didn't go protest, but will vote.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting as time goes along. Oh, and I do want to mention, because not much happened at the committee meetings last night. A matter of fact, we were done probably
in an hour.
An hour, yeah. It was very quick. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing of substance that people would be interested to know is that the city allocated, or is going to suggest, send it on to council, that there is going to be a Strongest Towns celebration. It will be August 23rd, I believe, is the date.
Lincoln Park.
In the evening at Lincoln Park, and the city has allocated $10,000 for that event. And apparently this morning, the county is likely to vote for $10,000 as well.
Here's my only concern with that. Where's everyone going to park?
Well, here's what I was talking about with somebody last night. You know, if you've got the money and you want to do that, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think anybody would knock that. I mean, everybody knew that there was going to be a celebration. That's good. But I just... Now, my understanding was that $10,000 would feed about 5,000 people. So...
They were expecting to feed about 5,000 people.
Right. But
that's the private money coming also.
Right, right. But I don't see 5,000 people showing up.
I plan on spreading the word, because since they're holding it over here in my neck of the woods, I want everyone to know there's going to be free food at Lincoln Park. Go shake hands with the mayor. Strongest Town.
Right. No, and I hope that does happen. I hope a lot of people do show up. I have seen
I'm
the
talking about people from that area, Scott. I'm talking about my hood rat buddies getting to flood the place.
Well, no, I'm just saying I have seen the popcorn festival wane in past years, and I've seen the fair wane in past years. And even these Third Thursday events, I mean, they don't draw large numbers of people, nowhere near 5,000 people. This is a one-night event. It's not an all-day event. It's a Saturday. First of all, a lot of people do other things on Saturday. I believe school will be back in session by August 23rd. It's going to be rain-dependent.
It is the Columbus Air Show also. That's where I'll be.
Yeah, I just honestly... 5,000 people, and then another 10,000, well, that's 10,000 people you'll feed, and that's great that you'll have that much food. I just don't think the attendance will be that much in, what, 3 hours? What was the time frame given? Five hours?
I did not hear that part.
Yeah.
I did find another thing interesting. It stuck out to me. They were talking about collecting income tax, and basically taxing everyone that earns a dollar inside the city limits. And I'm not opposed to that, because it came from passing debts on to the Attorney General for collection. I don't know why we didn't do that a long time ago. I mean, that's almost like an automatic thing with the courts. After a certain period of time, I mean, it's a short period, 6 months, you don't pay, they pass you on to the Attorney General to let them start doing their collection methods.
I don't know why that was never done. I don't know.
But that's a good thing. So I have no issue with that. Pay your taxes. I pay mine. Pay yours.
Yeah.
I'm not pleased about it, but I pay mine, so pay yours too.
You know, one of the reasons I kind of feel that festivals and fairs and things are on the wane in Marion is because we have a very large elderly population.
Yes.
And I don't think they go to those events.
Well, and I don't, our population is also poor. We're poor. And it's expensive to take a family of two and three people. Just the fair, think of the fair. I think that's going to be like $25 to get in, even if you go to the popcorn festival.
But even the fair has senior day, kids day, bring a can day, get in for free.
We can even just say popcorn festival. It's free. You can just walk up there.
Right, right. So I think it has to do with the walking.
$15 to ride, though. You know what I mean? And you have a couple kids. I mean, you're just going to walk around and just look. that's not fun. I mean, well, it is if that you have absolutely no other choice.
Well, and again, it's a one-time-only thing, and I just think that...
I hope it has a good turnout. I really do.
Of course. Well, if they're going to get free food and have a lot of fun, of course you want a big turnout. And I think
My concern is parking.
Well, but I think we can get past that. I just think that the people who are putting it on... I have a committee, so it sounds like it's well organized. They've got a lot of time. They've got private donations. I think all of that's great. I don't have any problem with it at all. All I'm saying is I just think it's hard to get people to a place at a certain time, one day a week, for a one-time event. And I'm still not sure that the majority of people in Marion really understand what it was to begin with.
No, I agree with that, but print it on their sewer bills. Probably just about everyone gets one of those. Print a little invitation on the sewer bills, and it'll go to almost every household in Marion, probably.
Well, as I said, I hope it goes well. I hope it turns out well. They're putting a lot of money into it, putting their money where their mouth is, which is good. And for it to be free to the residents of Marion, that's also good. But, you know, like I said, I saw the people who showed up for the unveiling of it, and... you know, it was well publicized in the Marion Star, so they certainly got the word out. It wasn't a large group of people. This past week, we got the award. How many people in general know that happened? Very few.
Do you think they're going to throw themselves a $20,000 party? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying I don't think... I think they will try to advertise it. I'm sure the paper will run it. If they give us a flyer, we will run it. I'm sure it'll be on the Facebook page. It just seems like... people,
I'm going to hand out flyers at North Main Street McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I just don't know if people turn out to those events anymore. I hope they do, but I don't, and if it rains, then you're really in trouble.
Well, back to the popcorn festival thing, and they were talking about, like I said, basically collecting tax dollars from every person that earns money in the city of Marion. And the food trucks were mentioned. Are we collecting income tax from all these food trucks that are coming to town? And no one knew. And then it started in, Twyla Lang wanted to know if we were making money off the popcorn festival vendors. Well, okay, I suppose that's a valid question. However, there is a food truck parked in front of one of their donors every weekend, a couple days a week. Are we collecting money from them? Do we need to check on them first, or do we need to, the one thing that does bring thousands of people to town still, the Marion Popcorn Festival, do we need to crack down on that? There's a little background war. I don't know if people know about the Popcorn Festival and all these downtownies. Like, they don't like the fact that the Popcorn Festival goes on and it shuts their businesses down for a couple of days, and there's people parked in front of their doors, and they're not making the money, and blah, blah, blah. Well, the Popcorn Festival's been around a lot longer than them. And something, like we said, that for free, if you have absolutely no money, you can at least go up there and listen to music. And so there's a whole big war about that, so I thought that was ironic when Twyla Lang was like, do we know if we're making money off the popcorn festival vendors? Well, I don't know. Do we know if we're making money off the food truck in front of Shovel City every weekend?
Well, and there's also a lot of things that go on that time. I mean, the Blues Fest goes on in August. The Bratwurst Festival goes on in August. There's just a lot going on that time of year.
Yes. But, I mean, that's a Marion tradition, so let's not try to run it out of town. And I don't even go, because I get my share of festival atmospheres between races and concerts and things like that. I can sit on my porch and listen to the music.
You know, I think that would draw somebody to this Strongest Town thing, and I did not get the impression last night that they were going to have a big entertainment, not a local entertainment, I should say. Maybe somebody, a headliner,
probably
come in.
Probably someone they know.
Well, but you know what? Listen, with $20,000, you could get a headliner. You don't even have to spend all the $20,000.
Somebody they know that's a DJ will probably get paid $5,000.
I'm just saying, I think that would get people there, because I know...
Yeah, it would.
You know, the Palace, when they get somebody big, they can fill 1,400 seats. So
well,
I think...
even one of your local, bands, I'm thinking, like, Left of Center, or that's just the first one that pops in mind. The one that plays the... the second bit. Well, I think they've even opened the popcorn festival.
Well, I'll tell you, I hate to say this with locals, and I'm not criticizing any of them. I think they're talented. The fact that they're working, great. But the problem is when you're a local band, you play a lot of local places, so people see you a lot, and you're almost overexposed to draw a big crowd.
I can see that. So you need, like, a name that we couldn't see around here.
Right, something you can't see.
On a Friday or Saturday.
Well, that's what draws the Popcorn Festival crowds, because on those three nights, that's the time that they're the most busy. It's because they're bringing in somebody you can't see anybody else, and it's free entertainment. So that's my suggestion. They didn't ask me to be on the committee for Strongest Town, but there's my suggestion. Well, they did, well, you know, I didn't volunteer, but they didn't ask. But here's my suggestion. If you get $10,000 from the commissioners, which I think you will, I don't know how much you have in private donations, but if you got somebody somewhat national of a national reputation to come do this, and I'm sure if you pay them enough money, they'll do it, that would draw people.
I think that's a good idea. I think $4,000 or $5,000 one night act, that wouldn't be a bad idea, and I think it would fill the, you know what, hell, maybe they should just have it at the Palace Spears and use the May Pavilion to feed everybody.
Well,
we've got those millions of parking spots in downtown. Everybody could just park and walk.
Well, speaking of the Popcorn Festival, and I was talking about this with the group, Matt and Terry, I was with last night at City Council. I said, you know, people don't realize that the first year of the Popcorn Festival, they used a stand-up comedian, and it was a rather past his prime stand-up comedian. It was Henny Youngman, but he was a well-known, established, somebody you could not see in Marion, stand-up comedian. So they brought him in, and the Popcorn Festival did draw a good crowd with Henny Youngman. And I thought, well, go that route. Get a comedian. There are a lot of comedians now who are, it's much cheaper than a band because they don't have to bring the equipment. You just need a microphone and a good sound man. And if you got a national comedian of some acclaim, I think you would draw a very big crowd.
Yeah. I mean, if you could do bounce houses and pony rides and, you know, fair type family atmosphere, wouldn't that be the, I'm not saying wouldn't that be the best, but wouldn't that be a good environment to foster?
Well, right, and I think there are a lot of things. So I know they listen, so here are some suggestions for you.
Because county fairgrounds, have the grandstands, have a little band set up.
Well, I'm just, you know,
There's our parking situation solved, too, Spears. Look at you and I just throwing it together, solving problems.
Well, I don't know what the county would charge to use it. Maybe they would be nice. And
maybe that could be some of their $10,000 that they chip in.
Well, but, you know, I say get a comedian, somebody who's of note nationally that people would know. Even if it's an old-time comedian, it will still work if people know who they are. And you will also draw people from surrounding counties. You draw people from Upper. You draw people from Delaware. If
they
it's
are
promoted
not part of the Strongest Town. Sorry.
But no, but
your
they can certainly.
Residency will be checked at the door.
No, but they got to come in and check out the Strongest Town.
You've got to show a paid current tax bill with the county auditor before you can enter.
Or
the sewer bill has to be up.
Well, I live in the county then, so I don't even know if I can come in.
I said county.
Oh, you can do it from the county? Okay.
The county auditor, yes. You have to have a paid tax bill. That covers us all.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Because I was going to say a sewer bill, but that wouldn't get you. I couldn't get you in there. You know what I say? I say they just reform.
Oh, no, we pay sanitation in the county. We pay sanitation.
Okay. Well,
I just paid my sanitation bill. I could bring that on over.
All right. We'll bring our sewer bills, and that's the cost of admittance.
There you go. So,
and then, hey, we can bring a tire along, too, for recycling.
Oh, there
it's
you
easy,
go.
Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. No, and I think it was great that they got, I think they'll get $10,000 allocated. It'll go to council next Monday, I would imagine, and get allocated. I would guess that the county commissioners are going to match that this morning. The mayor said it was a pretty good bet that that would happen. But my suggestion, not being on the committee, is that I would get a comedian. If you're going to have entertainment and you want to draw people there and you want to feed 5,000 or 10,000 people for free, which is a great thing, I think if you had a national comedian, it's cheaper because you don't have to pay the whole band to come in. You don't have to pay the elaborate sound system. You don't have to pay more than one person. A comedian, usually it's just the comedian. The comedian, a microphone, and a good sound system. I think that would go over well. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on any of this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you make of this event? Or just maybe even a well-known personality. Bands are expensive. Just somebody who's well-known, who can come there and maybe do a meet-and-greet during those hours. People like to get autographs. People like to get their picture taken with well-known people. That's something people like to do. People like merch, you know? Think about it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody has anything to say, they can weigh in here. 740-783-9944. I can't even get the number right this morning. That's what kind of morning it is. I think it's the dreary weather. You know, this weather, every morning you wake up, no matter what it's like when you go to bed, it's either overcast or it's rainy. It has rained. I don't know what's going on with summer coming up this coming Saturday. But I do want to mention again, Bobby Floyd and his friends at the Palace this coming Saturday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m., $35 a ticket. Call the Palace box office if you would like to get a ticket. The Palace box office number is 740-383-2101. They're open this week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't miss that. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, how many people are interested in this documentary tonight on Ohio State? Surviving Ohio State will be on HBO tonight, June 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then it will be available on HBO's streaming service, Max. But this is the story of the documentary, explores the Ohio State University abuse scandal. It's based upon the 2020 Sports Illustrated article, "Why Aren't More People Talking About the Ohio State Sex Scandal Abuse?" You know, I guess we'll have to watch this and see where it goes. It's about Dr. Strauss. Well, I don't want to say it's about him, but the things he did. The Dr. Richard Strauss, a sports medicine physician and serial sex abuser employed by the Ohio State University from 1978 to 1998. What an interesting, I don't know, you certainly would call that a blemish, I guess, on Ohio State, the Ohio State University. But it's coming up tonight on HBO. I know a lot of people will watch this 9 p.m., and then it will stream on HBO's streaming service, Max. I imagine after the premiere tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO. But Surviving Ohio State. What a unfortunate, and that's not even a strong enough word to say that story was. And I believe our own Rocky Ratliff here in Marion will be in this documentary. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he will, because he was on the red carpet when the documentary appeared at Tribeca as one of the abused athletes at Ohio State in that time period. You know, it's terrible that it happened. Things can happen. But at least, I don't know if this documentary will have an effect on this. I think a lot of us have known about it for a long time. I don't know. I really don't know. People are talking about it to some degree. So maybe tonight after they see the documentary for the first time, it'll really get people awake. Colleen Marshall is in this documentary. She was with us last Friday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last Friday. We just ran out of time. But Colleen Marshall was one of the journalists who covered this, and she's a part of this documentary tonight that will air on HBO. So it's well worth watching. Rocky Ratliff and Colleen Marshall, two names you definitely know here in Marion, will be a part of this documentary. Again, 9 p.m. on HBO, Surviving Ohio State. And we'll be back right after this short but important break.
The place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask.